For the next hour, Inspector Allen is mixed up in drugs, blackmail and murder. And it's all in a day's work, it would seem, but at least the scenery is worth it. A one-off play starring Jeremy Clyde, When in Rome.
Are you looking for something a little different? Something off the beaten track? Why not try Il Cicerone? Personally conducted excursions, sophisticated visits to some of the least publicized and most fascinating places in the Eternal City, under the learned and highly individual guidance of Sebastian Mailer. Dinner at a most exclusive restaurant, and further less conventional expeditions by arrangement. All tastes catered for, with a little gentle blackmail to follow.
We present Jeremy Clyde as Chief Detective Inspector Allen in When in Rome by Niall Marsh.
If I didn't know you better, Bathgate, I'd suspect you were following me about, in the hope of an exclusive for your wretched rag. What the devil are you doing in Rome? Now, something tells me you're not just here on holiday.
I'm supposed to be covering the student riots. We were told they were going to make what happened in Paris look like a meeting of the parish council, but so far I haven't even seen a defaced poster. And what are you doing in Rome? I can see from the casual attire that you're supposed to be on holiday, but I have a shrewd suspicion that you're not.
Your shrewdness does you credit, but I don't know that I can tell you very much. Officially, everything's in the hands of the Rome police force.
You couldn't manage to drop a small hint?
Oh, I can do more than that. Traffic in illegal substances.
Heroin, cocaine.
Of course, we can't hope to catch the really big boys.
Yes. I'd heard that Otto Ziegfeld is holed up in some phony castle in the Lebanon.
You're obviously keeping yourself pretty well informed.
But please, go on.
Well, there's a chap here in Rome who may well be a key operator. Unfortunately, from my point of view, he happens to be a British subject. He's a man called Sebastian Mailer.
The sightseeing chap? The one who runs an outfit called Il Cicerone?
The very same, yes.
I noticed a card of his in my hotel. It all sounded rather intriguing.
That's just what I thought. Anyway, I've signed on for one of his little tours tomorrow. They're devilishly expensive.
He must cater for a very exclusive clientele.
Well, I've got the list here. Take a look at it.
Baron and Baroness van der Weigel. That rings a bell. Dutch, I think, and something to do with a firm of fanatical religious publishers. Oh. Major Hamilton's suite. Never heard of him. Miss Sophie Jason. Ditto. Ah. The Honourable Kenneth Dorn and his aunt, Lady Braceley. How very chic.
You know her, then?
Who doesn't?
This Mailer person, is he the one who came to your rescue when you got in that awful mess in Perugia?
Yes, Auntie. He practically saved my life.
I do wish you wouldn't call me Auntie. It's so... What's he like?
Oh, he's very clever, and he has contacts in all the right places.
And these less conventional expeditions he mentions, I trust they will be deliciously outrageous.
Oh, yes, beyond your wildest dreams, all sorts of gorgeous gents, and you can smoke as much as you please.
Smoke?
Oh, there's no need for the awestruck tone, sweetie. Do you mean to say you've never done it?
Never.
And I thought you'd tried everything. Do you want to give it a go?
It's not habit-forming, is it, Kenneth?
Of course it isn't. You don't get hooked, not on pot. It'll cost a bit, of course, but that's not a problem with you, is it, darling?
Look in my bag. I don't know how much I've got.
There doesn't seem to be much here.
Isn't there? They'll cash a check downstairs. I'll write one.
Yeah, make it pretty generous. I need some cash in hand. It's fabulous having my rich auntie to take care of me.
I don't imagine the intellectual side of the tour will have much appeal for her.
Ah, but that's the most curious aspect of the whole enterprise. According to the brochure, the tour is under the distinguished patronage of the celebrated writer, Mr. Barnaby Grant, who has graciously consented to accompany the expedition.
Barnaby Grant? The chap who wrote Simon in Latium?
I imagine so.
But it was top of the bestseller list for weeks. Why has Barnaby Grant got himself mixed up with a murky operator like Mailer?
That's what I hope to find out.
I suppose you can't get me onto the tour. I'm sure my paper would fork out.
I was fully booked, I'm afraid. I was lucky to get a cancellation. But why don't we have a drink together before the tour sets out tomorrow afternoon? And then you can take a look at them all. We're meeting at the square by Trinita del Monte.
Two Lanciers. Mailer certainly does things in style. And that's Barnaby Grant getting out of the second car.
And the man in the black alpaca suit, who looks rather like a priest, must be Mailer.
Grant looks pretty grim and rather embarrassed.
And that pretty girl with the Titian hair can only be Sophie Jason. She looks as if Rome has rather gone to her head.
Ah, Miss Jason, allow me to introduce our guest of honour, Mr. Barnaby Grant.
Oh, we've met before, actually, at the launch party for Simon. I work for Costa Publishing.
Oh, really?
Well, that was a bit brusque. The poor girl's gone quite red.
Ah, Baron, Baroness, how very nice to see you again.
Yeah, we are looking forward to our descent into antiquity.
Down the archaeological rabbit hole.
So, the sturdy couple in matching shady hats and sunglasses must be the Vagels. What enormous hands and feet they've got.
It's time for me to join the party. I don't want to make myself conspicuous by arriving late. I'll ring you from the hotel.
Ah, you must be Mr. Allen. So glad you could join us. May I introduce the Baron and Baroness Vagel?
How do you do?
We are very pleased to meet you.
We descend the rabbit hole together, yes?
And this is Miss Sophie Jason.
Hello.
How do you do?
And our guest of honor, Mr. Barnaby Grant.
How do you do? Do you know Rome well? Well,
virtually not at all. I've never been here for more than 3 or 4 days at a time. I'm not a systematic sightseer.
No?
Are we by any chance going to visit some of the scenes in your book? That would be a wonderful idea.
There's some idea of it. Mailer will explain. Excuse me.
Of course. But is this your first visit to Rome, Miss Jason?
Yes, it is. I came here with a friend, but her father died the day we arrived and she had to fly home. I've been messing about on my own ever since. This tour looked rather intriguing, particularly since Barnaby Grant was attached to it.
He doesn't seem very enthusiastic. He virtually edged me off a moment ago. Oh,
nothing to what he did to me. I work for his publishers. I write books for children. My editor introduced me to him at the launch party for Simon in Latium. I was silly enough to remind him just now, and he took the news like a dose of poison.
Very odd.
But aren't we rather slow getting going? Mr. Mailer's looking at his watch.
But Lady Braceley and her nephew are coming now.
Well, she hasn't worn very well, has she? I thought she was supposed to be the darling of the jet set. She looks positively decrepit.
Lady Braceley, may I present our guest of honour, Mr. Barnaby Grant.
Do you know, Mr. Grant, you're the sole reason for my coming to this party? Normally, teams of wild horses wouldn't drag me out sightseeing at this ghastly hour. You're my sight.
I don't know how I meant to answer that, except that I'm sure you'll find the Church of San Tommaso in Pallaria much more rewarding.
Is that where we're going? Is it a ruin?
My aunt has a particular aversion to ruins.
It's not exactly that. You see...
It is an architectural palimpsest.
It is the spiritual heart of Mr. Grant's novel.
Really? I adored it, of course, though I haven't a clue what it's about. But shouldn't we be moving on? Such a bore, having to hang about.
Yes, I think we could make a start. Perhaps I should just outline our programme. We shall drive around the Colosseum and the Forum and then visit the Basilica of San Tommaso, which, as you all know, was the setting for the central scene of Mr. Grant's Simon in Latium.
Wonderfully moving. Such depth of spirit.
And I have prevailed upon our distinguished author to say a few words about the way the basilica figures in his book.
Bravo, bravo.
The afternoon will end with a picnic on the Palatine Hill. Then you will be driven to your hotels to change for dinner, and our cars will call for you at 9 o'clock. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
But what's happened to Major Sweet?
The Major will join us at the basilica. And now, if we are ready, let us go.
Cartoline, cartoline, postcard, ricordi di San Tommaso. late. You're nearly 30 minutes late.
Unfortunately, Major,
we... It's all my fault, Major. I kept everyone waiting. I dare say you might call it a woman's privilege.
Catherine,
I think we should go inside the Basilica straight away.
Catherine, postcards.
Pay no attention, ladies and gentlemen. There are far better postcards on sale inside.
Ladro brutto.
Pay no attention to her.
Infame, infame.
In we go. Follow me, ladies and gentlemen.
Kenneth, darling, honestly, hardly one's idea of a gay little outing.
Like something out of Trovatore.
Was she put in as an extra touch of atmosphere, Mr. Grant?
I don't know anything about her, mad, I should think.
But if you translated all that into Anglo-Saxon terms, it would probably amount to no more than a cool glance and the shrug of a shoulder.
Oh, rather. You have to allow for their sense of drama. But I know who you are now. I didn't realize. We met at the launch party at Costa's, didn't we?
Yes, that's right.
The Basilica of San Tommaso is a unique experience, an opportunity to travel down the centuries into ancient Rome. At the top level, where we are now standing, is the church of the 12th century. We shall then pass through the ticket barrier and ascend to the 3rd century church, which the Basilica replaced. And below that, just imagine. There has lain sleeping for over 1,800 years a house of the Flavian period, with its own private temple dedicated to the god Mithras.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, my God, that's my cue. God, how I hate this.
Then why do it?
Oh, you needn't be so snappish.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's none of my business.
Not at all.
But I will say no more. I shall hand you over to my distinguished colleague, Mr. Barnaby Grant.
Oh, excellent. And are we not standing in the very place where your characters assembled?
And might we not follow in their footsteps?
Well, I imagine if you've read the book, you can sort it out pretty easily for yourselves. But while we're in this part of the Basilica, I'll show you one thing that might interest you. If you could come over to this railed enclosure.
Oh, yes, of course. Don't you remember, darling?
Just listen now.
The Cloaca Maxima, great sewer of ancient Rome.
A pure stream leading into it, more than 60 feet below us. If you lean over the rail, you'll see there's an equivalent opening in the floor of the original choir immediately below us. And yet another 30 feet below that, you can't see it without a torch, there's a third opening, and far below that, the stream. You may remember in my book that Simon dropped a pebble from here and it fell down the centuries into the hidden water.
Yeah, and on that image the whole book was based.
Exploring the deepest reaches of Simon's being. Oh, how exciting this is!
I'm looking down through the centuries. Boom! Boom! Oh, God! It makes me feel sick. What a revolting place!
Well, we'll go on down to the lower region, shall we? Follow me.
Oh, be very careful, my darling. Take care that you do not slip.
If we could just pause here for a moment. Later on, some of you may wish to explore this place for yourselves.
God forbid.
You can't really get lost. Sooner or later, you will end up at this point. And as you can see, there's a map. But before we descend further, let me draw your attention to the terracotta sculpture on the opposite wall.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yes, it's thought to be of Apollo, Etruscan, of course.
Maybe take a photograph.
Naturally. And now we descend into the ancient church.
Do much care for this. It's very stuffy in here.
There are plenty of vents. The air seems quite fresh.
But it doesn't to me. I'm not enjoying this at all, Major. I don't think I...
What on earth are you on about, Auntie? It's just a statue.
Out!
What's the matter?
Oh, it's the Major. He keeps pinching my bottom.
Oh.
What was that?
Just a photograph, dear lady.
Oh, it's too much. It's really too much.
And here is the railing of the well again, directly under the one above.
Gerrit, look down there. Do you see? The sarcophagus. Where Simon sat and meditated.
Oh, do be careful, Matilda. Do not lean over too far, my darling.
Look, there's that woman.
What woman?
The postcard seller. I saw her shadow pass across the sarcophagus.
Are you sure?
Yes. It was as if she was trying to find somewhere to hide.
Violetta is not permitted to enter the Basilica. It must have been the shadow of someone in another party. But now let us descend into the Temple of Mithras. There is an iron spiral stairway just here.
It's no good. I'm afraid you'll think it frightfully silly of me, but I can't stay in this awful place another minute. You must take me back, Kenneth. Kenneth! Kenneth! Where are you, Kenneth?
It's perfectly all right, Lady Braceley. He went back to photograph the Apollo. I'll go and find him for you. It'll only take a minute or two.
No! I can't stay down here another second. Major Sweet, please take me away, please.
Well, of course, dear lady, if you insist.
Just get me out of here.
There's a continuation of this stairway that goes straight back up to the Basilica. If you take Lady Braceley up that way, I'll go and find Mr. Dawn and send him to her.
Right, shall we go, then?
Thank you, Major.
Will you carry on, Mr. Grant?
Very well.
I'll only be a few minutes.
Right, then. If you'll follow me down... We are now in what would have been a Roman family home, built sometime in the 1st century AD. And over here we have their private temple, the Mithraeum.
It's more like a private cave with benches for the family.
I'm sure you all know about the Mithraic cult, so there's no need for me to...
Oh, but please, we would so much like to hear you speak of it.
Only if he wants to.
Oh, the god Mithras was born...
Forgive me. But my husband must not miss this. Gary!
What is it, my love?
Mr. Grant is about to tell us the story of Mithras.
Oh, I come at once.
The god Mithras was born of a rock. He was worshipped in many parts of the ancient world, including England, and was, above all, a god of light. Hence his association with Apollo, who commanded him to kill the bull, which is the symbol of fertility. You can see him in the act of killing the bull on the carved altar there.
It's such a pity that the others are missing all this.
A curse of humanity.
What is, Major?
Religion, not a ballyhoo.
How is Lady Braceley?
I put her in the, the courtyard up top.
The atrium.
Whatever it is. She didn't like it much, being left on her own.
Was there any sign of young Dawn?
See, a frightful specimen.
And Mela?
No sign of him either. Damn casual treatment, I call it. What do we do now?
I understood. It was thought you might like to look around the place under your own steam. But here is Mr. Dawn.
Hello. What have you done with my aunt?
She felt faint. I escorted her up to the garden. Hadn't you better take a look at her?
May she flourish like the green bay tree.
Words fail me.
Thank God for that.
Would the author be so kind as to read us the passage in the book where Simon finds in himself some equivalent to the Mithraic power?
Yeah. We have our copy with us.
Oh, my God.
We understand, of course, the famous Anglo-Saxon reticence.
Yeah, but after all, the brochure encouraged us to believe.
Hadn't you better?
Well, if you really want me to, of course. It's only that I feel such an ass.
Wonderful. But first, we must have a photograph. Mr. Grant will stand in the center reading to us, with the altar of Mithras in the background. If you would stand beside him, Mr. Allen, and Miss Jason on the other side. And you behind her, Major.
Right-ho.
And you behind Mr. Allen, Mr. Dawn. And you, Garrett, my darling, behind the others, because you are so large. Now, all look at the open page.
But, yeah, we can't really see it in the dark.
Does not matter. We must all concentrate on the book. All on the book. Get it, you must step back a little. Now freeze, please. I shoot. Oh, get it. What did I tell you? They are useless, the bulbs that we bought at that place. But I have another. Nobody must move. It is in my pocket. What are you doing, Mr. Dawn?
Just taking a photo of Mithras.
What was that?
It sounded like someone shutting a heavy door.
Now, please, attention. I shoot again. And again, please. And now for the reading. I have my little torch. I will shine it on the page for you, Mr. Grant.
Oh, thanks. Nothing had changed. In the presence of the statue of Mithras, Simon's ears heaved with the soundless roar of the sacrificial bull. His throat and the back of his nose were stung by blood that 19 centuries ago had boiled over white hot stone.
Bravo.
We are so grateful, Mr. Grant. It was all we had hoped for.
I think I'll go and take a look at Auntie.
I'm going to find that fellow Mailer. We've a bone to pick with him.
Why don't we all meet up in the atrium? They'll be closing the place in about 10 minutes' time.
It's very odd. Where can Mr. Mailer have got to?
I thought he went off to find young Dawn.
Well, he didn't. I haven't set eyes on him.
And he didn't join you, Lady Bracely, in the atrium?
He didn't join me in the atrium or anywhere else. I don't know why, but that sounds vaguely improper.
A damn poor show, leaving us high and dry. Look here, Grant, you're on the strength, aren't you?
Absolutely not. I've nothing to do with him.
Well, so what should we do? We can't hang around here indefinitely.
The best thing would be to carry on as planned and go off to the picnic on the Palatine Hill. The drivers will take you there, and the one called Giovanni speaks quite good English. And in the meantime, I'll go and have a word with the people who run this place.
Why don't I do that? You get the rest of the party over to the picnic, and I'll try to find out what's become of Mailer.
Are you sure?
Oh, perfectly sure. I'll join you at the Palatine Hill. What's the name of the person in charge here?
The place is in the care of a group of Irish Dominicans. Father Dennis is the man to talk to. He'll help if anyone can.
Well, your man's not below, that's for sure. We had the full power of the lighting on. That's enough to dazzle the eyes out of your head. He must have slipped out while no one was looking.
Oh, that woman who sells the postcards, she might have noticed him. Is she still here?
Oh, Violetta, do you mean? I haven't seen her since you all went down into the depths. Terrible pest, that one. Touched in her wits, poor creature.
Well, she seems to rather have it in for Mr. Mayle.
She's been in a terrible state since he first came here to discuss arrangements for his sightseeing trips. The poor soul has got it into her head that he's her husband or something of the sort. Says he deserted her and betrayed her to the police.
For doing what?
She never lets on exactly. Something to do with passing prohibited articles. She's very wild, and the saints themselves wouldn't know which was fact and which was fantasy. Little wonder your man has gone to ground.
He's done a bunk. He must have recognized you.
That's what the police think. I was on the phone to them first thing this morning, and they gave some very curious information about this Violetta woman. She and Mailer had some kind of racket going on in Sicily 3 years ago, and then he dumped her. And Palermo, of course, is a port of transit for the heroin smuggling trade.
And you reckon that Mailer's mixed up in it all?
Obviously. But what I can't fathom is the purpose of these little tours of his. He's clearly up to something. But what?
Was the evening all the brochure promised? An exclusive restaurant and less conventional entertainment to follow?
Oh, yes. The restaurant was exclusive, all right. It was La Gioconda.
Good God! That must have cost you a packet. It's the most expensive place in Rome.
Well, that's what makes it even more mystifying. We were told it was all included in the cost of the tour. We paid for nothing. Mailer's oily little assistant, Giovanni Vecchi, saw to everything. The major was pouring drink down his throat like there was no tomorrow.
Well, I must say, this is quite an order one. Here's to Il Cicerone.
Nobody seemed to be missing Mailer very much, although the manager of the Gioconda did turn a very unhealthy-looking colour when I told him he had vanished without trace.
But that wasn't the end of your evening, I take it.
Now we are gay. Now we dance, and all is heath and nightlife. To the Cosmo, is it not?
An abominably noisy place. Lavish floor show, bottles of champagne plonked down on all the tables.
And all on Mailer's Il Cicerone?
Everything. Lady Bracely was in her element. She's very persona grata with the management.
Here I am, high as a kite, ready for anything. Bring on the dancing girls.
All things considered, she danced with considerable expertise.
And did you take to the floor yourself?
Oh, yes, with the Baroness. She was remarkably forthcoming on the subject of her marriage.
In all things, we are in absolute accord. We are sure of ourselves. Always we are happy together and agreeing in our views. Like twins, is it not?
And then, after we returned to our tables, Giovanni Vecchi approached us all, one by one, and asked, very discreetly, whether we wished to go on a further expedition that Mailer had arranged to extend our knowledge of Roman nightlife. But that we would have to pay a little extra for the privilege. Well, Lady Bracely was all for it, and so was the Major.
Better be good. Mind you, I've seen some curious things in my time. All adds up to experience. Not a word to the ladies. What they can't grieve about, they won't see.
And Kenneth Dorn was working himself up into a frightful lather of expectancy. I fear he rather fancies me.
You're simply fabulous, you know, but let's face it, sweetheart, you're a bit of a square.
I was rather hoping that Mailer might have been able to change all that.
Don't you worry about anything. Tony's pad, the place where we're going, is simply out of this world. Grass, hard stuff, whatever takes your fancy. There'll be a perfectly psychedelic freak out.
And was there?
And was there what?
A freak out.
Well, there was a disgusting performance by some people who called themselves the Kinky Kicks, which I can only describe as infamous.
I can imagine.
I sincerely hope that you cannot. And while it was going on, I went to have a quiet word with the doorman. Gave a very decent impression of desperate withdrawal symptoms, and told him that I'd counted on meeting Mr. Mailer.
That was a bit chancy, wasn't it? What did he come up with?
A sealed package wrapped in glossy blue paper. From Senior Mailer's special supply, he said.
Heroin?
And cocaine. At 30% more than British black market prices.
Just as well you're being funded by the Yard. And did all the rest of your party go on to Tony's pad?
Well, the Vagels didn't.
My husband thinks it would not suit us to go. He did not very much care for the style of the suggestion. It is more for the men, he said. So I tease him and say he's a big square, and I am not so unsophisticated. But he remains firm, so we return to our hotel.
And Grant and Sophie Jason left the Cosmo quite early. They'd been getting on together at a distinctly alarming rate, gazing into one another's eyes, dancing. Admittedly, not very well. I only hope Grant isn't a predatory animal. And they discovered they were staying at the same pensione, a place with a very romantic roof garden.
There's something I have to tell you.
Yes?
About how I came to be mixed up in this Il Cicerone business.
Oh, I was wondering when you were going to get round to that.
It happened last year. I was sitting at a curbside table in the Piazza Colonna. There was a storm coming on.
And?
There were a couple of lovers at the next table and three rather heavy types on the other side of me. And coming towards me across the piazza, I noticed this Englishman. I don't know how I was so sure he was English. His clothes, probably.
And this was Mailer?
Don't anticipate. Suddenly, there was a gigantic clap of thunder and a very thoroughgoing cloudburst. Everyone started to run for cover. The lovers collided with the heavy types and there was a bit of a fracas. And then somebody slammed into my back and knocked me over the table. I picked myself up and realized that my briefcase was gone.
And there was something valuable in it.
Simon.
Simon? You lost Simon?
Yes, the second draft and my only copy. I went to the consulate, but they couldn't help much. I put advertisements in the papers offering a reward.
But obviously you got it back.
Yes. Mailer brought it to the cafe where I'd lost it.
How did he get hold of it?
Well, I need to go back a bit. You're too young to remember when my first book came out.
Aquarius. I was about 14. I thought it was marvellous.
Yeah. But afterwards, when you came to work for Costa Publishing, you must have heard about the scandal.
Yes, I heard about the coincidence bit.
Coincidence? Did you really believe that I could have repeated in exact detail the central theme of a book I'd never read?
Certainly. Everybody at Costa said it was just an accident.
It wasn't the opinion of 12 good men and true.
What's all this got to do with Mailer?
Well, as I said, he turned up at the cafe 3 days later and he produced the briefcase from underneath his jacket.
Mr. Barnaby Grant, I think you will be pleased to see me, will you not?
But how on earth had he got hold of it?
Oh, he had a perfectly plausible explanation. The fellow who'd snatched it was a well-known pickpocket. Mailer had been keeping his eye on him and he immediately gave chase.
It was a long pursuit, but in the end I caught up with him at one of his habitual haunts, and by means with which I will not trouble you, recovered your briefcase. No doubt you'll be asking yourself why 3 days have elapsed before I've brought it back to you. Perhaps you would care to inspect my arm. You see the marks? Like mosquito bites. But I am sure you recognize them for what they are. I have an addiction for cocaine. After recovering the briefcase, I felt a little shaken and exceeded my usual dose. As a result, I have been out of circulation until this morning.
What he'd actually been doing, though I didn't realize it at the time, was scribbling away at a book. He must have worked at it day and night. He asked me to read it as a kind of reward for recovering my briefcase.
Neither a novel nor a novella in length, I'm afraid, but I would be grateful for your advice as to a possible publisher. I hope my handwriting does not present undue difficulties. Perhaps in 2 days or so you might...
But I don't understand. What was the point?
One of the minor episodes of his book bore a strong resemblance to the main theme of Simon.
Oh.
I didn't think anything of it at the time. I just put it down to coincidence.
And did you mention it to him when you met again?
Oh, yes. He seemed to be quite amused.
We are told, are we not, that in literature there are only... How many is it? 3, 4 basic themes?
He took me out to a thoroughly disgusting club where I had far too much to drink. We met up with some friends of his. He'd obviously arranged for them to be there, and he told them the whole story.
Including the resemblance bits?
Oh, yes, he made a great joke of it all, and his cronies thought it was very funny. What I didn't realize at the time was that one of them was a journalist.
So he tried a spot of blackmail?
Not there and then. I went back to England. The book was published, and it was a tremendous success. 3 weeks ago, I came back here to Rome to discuss the Italian edition, and Mailer was waiting for me.
I shall come straight to the point. Always best, don't you agree?
He told me that he'd thoroughly rehashed his book so that it was blatantly like mine, and that he had witnesses from that nightclub where we'd joked about it who'd swear that I'd swiped his story. The journalist was the Rome correspondent of one of the grubbiest British scandal sheets.
But you could just have told him to go to hell.
Not with the Aquarius scandal still hanging over my head.
So what did he want?
Not very much, as it happens. He asked me to take on these unspeakable tours, to lend my name to them and do the famous author bit. This is meant to be the first of them.
Oh, he probably wouldn't have stopped there.
That's just what I'm afraid of. I hope he doesn't turn up again in a hurry, and I'm not very keen for the police to track him down. God knows what he might say.
So, where do you go from here?
Back to the Basilica. A charming, though Father Dennis may be, I'm not confident of his ability to carry out a really thorough search. I've persuaded the Rome police to lay on all the necessary facilities, and the big chief is taking charge of it all in person. Il Questore Valdano.
You have already met Chief Superintendent Allen, I believe, Padre?
I have indeed, but he didn't let on that he was a great man in the CID.
I hope it was an innocent reservation, Father.
Well, I let you off this time. So we'd better be getting on with your wild goose chase. Was there anywhere particular you wanted to take a look, Signor Questore?
My men will search through the whole basilica, Padre, but as for particulars, you better ask the Chief Superintendent.
Well, I should like to go down to the railed enclosure on the second level. It's where Sophie Jason thought she caught sight of Violetta.
The people at the lodging say that Violetta did not return home last night.
She may have gone off with Mr. Mailer, of course.
It is possible. If Mailer discovered the superintendent's identity, he could have told her.
Well, let's be away down there. We'd best get this over before the tourist parties start to arrive.
Well, this is the place. We were looking down into the well, and Miss Jason thought that she saw Violetta's shadow moving across the sarcophagus over there.
But why should she come down here?
She's not permitted inside in any case.
Well, perhaps she was planning to bring about some kind of showdown with Mailer in front of us all. I'd like to take a closer look down there and try to work out where she was making for when she threw that shadow.
Well, there are many places where she could have hidden herself away. The lid of the sarcophagus. It is not completely closed.
There's some kind of black thread trailing out of it. Would you permit us to open it, Father?
You ought to be able to slide it off. Mind you, it's a fair weight. Poor woman. She won't be selling any more postcards. Strangled.
Let the postcard be touched. On the spiritus.
The situation is much more serious than I'd imagined. I will put every available man onto finding Mailer. A close watch will be kept on his apartment.
And what are you proposing to do about his happy band of pilgrims?
Sorry?
Were the people who were on the tour when the unfortunate woman was murdered.
I think it might be best if you were to interview them yourself. You will have to explain to them who you are, of course. I do not think they will be happy to discover that they were letting down their hair last night in front of a chief superintendent from Scotland Yard, eh?
My God, I knew I'd seen you somewhere before. You're that bloody policeman that's always getting his name in the papers.
Oh, but really? How too off-putting and peculiar.
You might have told us what your job was.
Well, why? You didn't tell us what you do for a living. So, let's get down to it, shall we? What we need to establish is when each of us last saw Mailer.
Of course, of course. A crime has been committed. It is our duty to assist.
Oh, thank you, Baron. Now, for my part, it was when we were still on the middle level, just after Major Sweet and Lady Braceley had left to go up to the atrium. Mr. Grant, Miss Jason, and the Baron and Baroness were with me, and we all went down to the Mithraic Temple together. Major Sweet and Mr. Dawn joined us there, separately, some time later. May I ask, Lady Braceley, whether you saw anything of Mailer or of Violetta after you left us?
No, no, of course I didn't. No, no.
And what about you, Major?
No, I met nobody.
Now, Mr. Dawn, according to Mailer, you had gone back to photograph the Apollo, is that right?
Certainly.
And did you photograph it?
As it happened, no. I'd run out of film.
Oh, no, you hadn't. You hadn't done any such thing. You took a photograph of Mithras while we were all poodle-faking around Grant and his book.
There's such a thing as putting in a new film, Major Sweet.
Yes, of course there is. Which reminds me, I'd like to take a look at all the photos that were taken in the Basilica. If you, Mr. Dawn, and you, Baron, would be so good as to hand them over to me, I will arrange for the police to develop them.
Of course.
Now, Mr. Dawn, tell me, did Mailer rejoin you while you were not photographing Apollo?
No. No, no, he didn't turn up.
You were expecting him, then?
No. No, I wasn't.
Well, do you recognise this piece of blue paper, Mr. Dawn?
No.
I found it behind the statue of Apollo during our search this morning, and last night I was sold a packet containing heroin and cocaine at Tony's pad in exactly the same paper.
Look, what the hell is all this? Why are you picking on me?
I'm not going to run you in for making a mess of yourself with drugs, you silly chap. I simply want to know if, for whatever reason, you met Mailer by the statue of Apollo.
Kenneth, darling, please, you mustn't.
Auntie, do you mind? I've told him. No, no, no.
So why is he making such a fuss?
Well, my guess would be that he met up with Mailer so that he could get his fix. But there's something else going on, something that Lady Braceley is very agitated about, but I'm damned if I know what it is.
Still, there doesn't seem to be much mystery about who killed Violetta. Must have been Mailer, surely.
Everything would appear to point to that. Anyway, I've told them all they must remain in Rome for the time being. After our meeting broke up, Grant said he wanted to have a quiet word. I suspect he was rather pushed into it by Miss Jason.
And did he explain to you how he got involved in all this?
He was being blackmailed by Mailer. Not because of anything criminal, of course, but enough to put his reputation in jeopardy. And that set me thinking, if Mailer was blackmailing Grant, was he trying the same trick with any of the others? The Vagels, perhaps?
Or Major Sweet.
It's so funny you should mention him. I wanted to think the whole business through, so I took a leisurely stroll and I caught sight of Sweet in a cafe having a rather earnest conversation with Giovanni Vecchi, Mailer's second in command. I managed to get close enough to hear a word or two without being observed.
And?
Sweet was talking about Ziegfeld.
The drug baron.
And if the Major's got himself mixed up with Ziegfeld, he's playing a very dangerous game. I've asked the police to keep a close watch on his apartment, and I'm going to pay him a surprise visit there this evening.
Ziegfeld? Who's he? Some sort of Dago, I suppose.
I think you know perfectly well who he is, Major. He imports drugs on a very large scale. He set up an agent in Naples whose job was to arrange and supervise the transshipment. And that agent was Sebastian Mailer.
I knew he was a wrong one, straight off.
It appears that at one time Mailer was married to the woman Violetta, and probably she worked for him in some minor capacity, and subsequently he deserted her.
Now you're talking. Threatened to expose him?
That's very likely.
Killed her?
Highly probable.
There you are, then.
Ziegfeld doesn't care for agents who do the dirty on him. As a general rule, he has them bumped off by another agent.
What's that got to do with me?
I overheard your conversation with Giovanni Vecchi at the Eremo Cafe this afternoon.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have the advantage of you there. I do know what you and Giovanni Vecchi were talking about. Mailer had been helping himself to some of Ziegfeld's drugs in transit and setting up as a dealer on his own account.
And where am I supposed to fit into all this?
Well, you were sent to spy on Mailer and Vecchi by Ziegfeld and to report back to him on their activities. I think that you double-crossed Ziegfeld and played along with Mailer. And now that Mailer's disappeared, you're threatening to betray Vecchi to Ziegfeld unless he pays you off in a big way. And then you're planning to clear out when the going's good. You haven't got a hope. You're in a pretty ugly situation one way or another, aren't you? The safest thing for you might be to ask the Rome police to lock you up.
What do you want?
A complete list of Ziegfeld's agents and a full account of his operation, with particular respect to Mailer.
I can't do that, Alan.
You've no choice.
May you rot in hell. All right, but get me a drink, goddamn you.
Ah, Signor Alan, there is a note for you from Lady Bracely.
Oh, thank you. Must see you. Please come to my apartment as soon as possible. If you see Kay, say nothing.
Kenneth's been so naughty and stupid, and now he's landed me in the most frightful mess.
Well, what's he done?
I can't follow it all, but apparently he got into some perfectly grisly scrape in Perugia and sold something that didn't belong to him. The mailer person got him out of it at a cost, of course, but when we were in that ghastly church, Mailer took me to one side while the rest of you were gawping at all those statues and things and told me that the police still weren't satisfied and unless we could butter them up with a hefty bribe, it would all come out and Kenneth would be arrested. He wanted me to sign a blank check and he would negotiate the whole thing.
And did you give it to him?
Not there and then. He was going to call for it at midday today, and then there was that thing about him disappearing and all that murder horror. But that Giovanni Vecchi, I used to think he was rather sweet, came here today and said the situation had got much more difficult. It might cost at least £800, and he suggested I let him have some jewellery instead.
And did you give him any?
Yes, I did. My diamond and emerald sunburst. I never really liked it frightfully.
Lady Bracely, why are you telling me all this?
I'm out of my depth. I'm awfully fond of Kenneth, but I don't think it's fair of him to land me in such a mess. Please, Mr. Allen, please be kind and help me.
Oh, very well. When your nephew appears, tell him I want to see him. I shall be in my room for the next hour.
So, what's it all about this time? You're going to run me in for possessing dope?
I've better things to do with my time. I want to tell you something. You were lying when you said you didn't see Mailer when you went off to photograph the Apollo. You met him by arrangement to collect your supply of heroin and cocaine. And you had one other reason for seeing him.
And what's that supposed to be?
You wanted to find out if he'd been successful in blackmailing your aunt on your behalf. You were encouraging him to keep on turning the screw. You were sharing the proceeds, I presume?
No comment.
And I suspect that now you're trying to carry on the good work with the help of Giovanni Vecchi, but we'll soon put a stop to that. Now, what I want to know is where Mailer went when he left you.
He had a date with someone else.
Who?
He didn't say. It was somewhere in the church. That's all I know.
Hello?
Would that be Mr. Allen?
It would, Father.
Are you alone now?
No.
If it's not putting too much on you, I'd be greatly obliged if you'd be kind enough to look in at the Basilica.
Of course. Is it?
Well, it may be, and then again it may not. To tell you the truth, I'm loath to call down a great concurrence of the police upon me, and then it turning out to be a rat. But to judge by the strength of the aroma, it's rather more than that.
I'll be with you in 15 minutes. That'll be all, Mr. Dorn. I earnestly hope we never meet again.
It's like enough a fool's errand I brought you on, and you maybe not eaten yet.
Shall we have a look where the trouble seems to be?
A look? The smell, more likely. But come along, we have to go down to the third level where the Mithraeum is. Mind your step now.
Well, there's no mistaking the smell. It's sickly sweet. What exactly is there down below?
The remains of a stone grill. As old as the place itself. It lies over the surface of the water, and there's only a part of it still intact.
Come on, get down there. There seems to be footholds in the wall.
Oh, I wouldn't trust them. I'll get a couple of the brothers to bring a rope and a set of overalls and a headlamp. Oh, we're very well provided.
Lower me down a bit further.
A bit further, yes. Are you all right?
Yes. A bit further. Hold on, I'm there. Slack off a little.
Can you see anything?
Yeah, there's a foot. It's caught in what's left of the old grill. The body's hanging over the water. The smell is simply disgusting.
Here, take a drop of this. We always keep a little something in case of emergencies.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I needed that.
Are you sure it's himself?
Yes, I could tell by the shoes, but it was just possible to see his face.
So did someone kill both him and that poor woman, or did he kill her and then get himself killed? Oh, either way, it's a terrible business. Would you like me to telephone the police?
I'd be very grateful if you would. I need a little time to work things out.
So, what is the verdict?
There isn't one. I'm still trying to decide exactly when the deaths took place. Sophie Jason said she heard a noise like a heavy door closing while the Baroness was fiddling about taking that photograph. It's a fair bet that that was the lid of the sarcophagus going down on Violetta's body. And Mailer himself must have been killed shortly afterwards. But what the devil's that?
It's the students. Thank God, at long last they got going. I'd better be off. Ciao!
Pronto?
Signor Allen, I'm afraid I have bad news. Major Sweet, he's dead.
Dead?
In a street accident. I would be greatly obliged if you would come over to my office.
Ah, the students, eh? What do you suppose they achieve? Now they are burning the Vespers. And it is because of the students that Major Sweet was able to get away.
How's that?
My men were keeping a close watch on his apartment, but there were others who were also keeping their eyes on him.
Oh, Ziegfeld's men?
Yeah, so he does not dare to come out. And then, in the afternoon, I telephone him, asking him to come to my office and sign a statement.
Did you tell him that Mailer's body had been found?
Oh, yes, yes, I tell him.
And what did he say?
He says nothing. And then the students come into his street, pushing over the cars, breaking the windows of the shops. And so the major takes his chance and slips out. One of Ziegfeld's men goes after him, but Sweet jumps into a taxi. And then a police car draws up by the side of the taxi. The major leaps out, and immediately he is run down by a car coming the other way. He did not regain consciousness.
I see.
There is no doubt in my mind that it was Major Sweet who murdered Mailer.
Are you sure of that?
I am certain. I have been questioning Mailer's assistant, Giovanni Vecchi, and he said that he saw Sweet standing on the railing of the well, looking down.
Vecchi was in the basilica?
So he says, and I have no reason to doubt his word. Oh. And so, my friend, the case is at an end. The happy band of pilgrims are free to depart. Oh, and the photographs you ask us to develop have come back. Would you like to see them?
Oh, very much.
Here. Tell us nothing. Light got into the roll of pictures the Baroness took at the Mithraeum. They're useless.
And the ones taken by Mr. Dorn?
Ah, yes. Some of the ones from Perugia are really quite indecent.
Oh, so they are. Oh, and here's one of Lady Bracely taken on the Spanish steps. Oh, and a snap he took of us all standing in front of the statue of Mithras, looking at Barnaby Grant reading his book.
It is of no interest.
As you say, of no interest.
The members of your party are in the next office. They came to sign their statements. Perhaps you would care to say goodbye to them.
Well, it's quite something to have been trotted about in the dark by a murderer. Even if he was a rude, common sort of man, We'll dine out on it, won't we, Kenna, darling?
And are you staying on in Rome, Miss Jason?
No, I thought I might spend a few days in Florence, stopping off at Arezzo.
And you, Mr. Grant?
I thought I might take a look at Arezzo, too. I've always wanted to see the Piero frescoes.
Forgive me, Mr. Allen, but the photographs that my wife took, if you have finished with them, may we see them?
Of course, Baron, though I fear they will be rather a disappointment. Why don't you come along to my hotel an hour or so? We can have a drink together, and you can take a look at them. I do not think we need trouble the Baroness.
I cannot understand this. There is nothing wrong with Mathilde's camera, the man who processed the film. You say he was a police photographer?
I'm sure he was very careful.
Ah, well, it will all be a great relief to Mathilde. She wanted no record of that place.
You may be interested to see the picture Kenneth Dorn took of us all.
Oh, yes. It is a very clear picture.
Allow me to top up your glass. I wonder if you could do me a favour.
Certainly, if it is possible.
Well, this is a copy of a letter written in Dutch. Will you tell me what it says?
Why do you do this? You ask me here to have a drink with you, and then you show me this? Where did you find it?
It was among Mailer's papers. The police thought it of no importance, and I did not contradict them. My job here is at an end.
Then why show it to me now?
But there's no reason for you to get angry, Baron. I assure you I'm acting in good faith. You have my word that I shall take no further action.
Well, you leave me little choice. I must place myself in your hands. It is a letter to someone calling himself Silas J. Sebastian.
It was Mailer. He didn't go to much trouble over his pseudonyms.
It is written by the firm of publishers in which I am a partner. He had asked them if they could give him any information about my wife. He had told them he was writing a series of articles on the subject of the old nobilities. The letter is an answer to that inquiry.
Yeah.
It states that the Baroness van der Weegel is a permanent invalid and lives in retirement.
Ah, like the first Mrs. Rochester.
Yeah. Like Mrs. Rochester in Jane Eyre.
When did you first encounter Sebastian Mailer?
18 months ago in Geneva.
And he wrote his letter a few weeks later?
He wrote others, extending his inquiries.
And when you met him again in Rome this summer, had you any idea?
None. Until a week ago.
And then the blackmailing process began?
Yes.
You presented such a brave face, the pair of you. So much enthusiasm for the ancient world.
Today, before yesterday, at San Tommaso, I was carrying the money demanded of me as the price of silence. The decision had been taken. I must confess, a lightness of spirit came over me, and then there were the Etruscan works of art. I felt myself among friends. I believe that our family, which is of great antiquity, is descended from the Etruscans.
And did you hand over the money?
There was no opportunity.
Well, it must have been a great relief when Mailer disappeared. You were not the only victim in his party, you know.
So I understand. You may not believe me when I say that it would solace me to tell you what it was that he had discovered. But I cannot.
I believe you, Baron.
Mr. Allen, I appreciate your great forbearance in keeping Mathilde out of our little conversation. And now, I go. I know that I am your debtor to an indefinable extent. You would not wish me to say more.
Not another syllable.
May I shake your hand, Mr. Allen? I am truly grateful.
Well, by and large, he was the nicest murderer I've ever met.
But how could you be so certain it was him?
It was when I saw Kenneth Dorn's snapshot of us all standing round Grant and his book in front of the altar of Mithras. The Baron wasn't there.
What?
While we were all lined up in that preposterous group, scarcely able to see one another in the dark, the Baroness was talking to him, asking him to stand further back and so on, but he wasn't there. And that's why she made such a business of fiddling about with the flashbulbs and why she got Grant to read that long extract from his book.
Ah, he'd gone off to have his rendezvous with Mailer to hand over the money.
I think he came upon him with Violetta lying dead at his feet. Mailer tried to bolt. It was a struggle. The Baron throttled him and tipped him over the wellhead. And then he came back and stowed Violetta away in the sarcophagus.
I presume he deliberately overexposed the reel of film taken by the Baroness.
But he had no idea that Dawn had taken a snapshot of us all.
So what was it all about? I can see that the Baron and Baroness weren't husband and wife, but...
Well, here's one of the photographs on the Baroness's other reel. They must have asked someone to take a picture of them together.
They've got exactly the same features. The nose, the jaw, the mouth. They might almost be...
I think very probably they're half-siblings. And that wouldn't go down very well with the Baron's religious publishing company. The chairman is fanatically puritanical. Incest, in however remote a degree, would hardly be tolerated.
So, what are you going to do?
Castore Valdano has already made his decision. Everything points to Major Sweet, and he is conveniently dead. Two very unsavory characters at one blow, so to speak. And if that's what the Roman police choose to believe, well...
When in Rome?
Exactly, Bathgate. When in Rome.
In When in Rome by Nio Marsh, Chief Detective Inspector Allen was played by Jeremy Clyde. Nigel Bathgate, Nick Waring. The Baron van der Vagel, David Swift. The Baroness, Paula Jacobs. Sonia, Lady Braceley, Pauline Jameson. Kenneth Dawn, Tom George. Barnaby Grant, Sean Arnold. Sophie Jason, Annabelle Dowler. Major Sweet, Derek Waring. Sebastian Mailer, Matthew Devereaux, Violetta, Carolyn Jones, Father Dennis, James Green, Il Castore Valdano, Stephen Critchlow. When in Rome was dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams. Thank you.